for your kingdom to come, for your kingdom throughout the decades. And if you had told them that there'd be cars parked all over the place, that would have just blown their mind back then. But because of this place, it has had an impact for the kingdom, because someone took a step forward and said, yes, Lord, use me. Lord, what you want me to do, you tell me and I'll do it. And that's exactly what happened. And this site has been around, and it's gone through all different kinds of a history. But there's been a legacy from that person saying yes to planting it. And out from this church, many have gone, and many have taken the word of God and the shining light of God out into many other places and been a legacy themselves. And it's 325 years of legacy of faithful people serving God, sharing the gospel, and coming together and worshiping and praising God and learning about him just in this place. And I find that amazing. So where we go at the moment, we are over in Hive, and we're sort of 26, 27 years. So we're a baby church in comparison. In each of our lives, we had had someone introduce us to Jesus. We've had someone to help us understand the reality of the cross and salvation. And we've had people in our lives which have told us about having a real relationship with God. These are legacy moments. I hope you can kind of think back and think that time that you made that decision to say yes to God and yes to Jesus. Because that's a very special moment. And it was because of someone introducing you that their legacy carries on in faith through you. The people who have passed this on, they've had people who've passed it on to them, who've had people pass it on to them. And you get the idea that it's because of people passing it on, like we had there, passing the baton on, that the message of God continues. It's Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2, which is very, very much alongside with what we were saying with the kids talk. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How amazing is that? That we have we've got that cloud of witnesses, those who've gone before us, who are now in the heavenlies, and they are saying, keep going, keep running that race. Your life is so small in comparison to the whole of length of history even. He's saying, keep going, keep running that race, keep passing that baton on. I want my message, I want the message of Christ to be passed on to the next person. I often think and think back Abraham, when he was told he was going to be the father of many nations. He would not have thought that this planet would be of 8 billion people. And he certainly did not think that there would be sort of 2 billion confessing Christians on this planet. Massive, massive numbers. But it was because Abraham was called and he faithfully went. And God made that promise over his life, and it's been fulfilled. But today is not the end of that legacy. Romans 10:13-15, it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one that they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who give good news, who bring good news." Have you ever thought how beautiful your feet are? Some of us have got ugly feet, but we won't go there. They're beautiful to the Lord, thank goodness. But we have beautiful feet because when we step out for God and we bring his message, he delights. There is a joy because we have stepped out faithfully and we have spoken. Have you been in situations in life where you are sat around and you've got this sort of just niggling thing? It says, just talk, just mention me. And it goes in the back of your mind. And what unfortunately can happen is we can ignore that and we can get used to ignoring that word. But I'll tell you something. When we don't ignore that word and when we step out, we realize that we're actually speaking into situations that God has prepared ahead of us. I love it. I've been in so many situations where you've just got this, mention this. And you mention it, and all of a sudden the conversation with that person drastically changes because all of a sudden God is present in that conversation. And you have the ability to introduce them to their creator. We've got to remember God is the one which created each one of us. You're introducing them to the creator of the world and universe. But you're also introducing them to a father who loves them. And he loves each and every one of us immensely. So who is it who is sent? Who carries the baton and passes it on? Who becomes part of the legacy? Who is keen to see God's word preached from this place for another 325 years, unless he returns again? Do we want to see this place as a light of the world in this community, preaching out? That would be amazing. As was up on the screen, it was Matthew 28:19, and it says, "Do not lay up for yourself." No, it doesn't. Well, that's the wrong one. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." We are called. There is nothing more clear in the Bible than that we are called, and we are called to go. We are called. It says go into Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Our Jerusalem is Lyndhurst, is the New Forest. Our Samaria is Hampshire and it's this country. The ends of the world are literally the ends of the world. I've got nothing for that one. But we're asked to go, and we're asked to preach wherever we place our feet. And that is something quite amazing. Now, I've heard this analogy from a very good friend, and I'm going to use it here because it just means so much. I'm not going to mention anyone in name form. You'll understand why as I get in, because this isn't the same thing. This is some people who treat Jesus as their ugly girlfriend. Let me explain. Now, if you are out and about, some of us may have to think back a little bit in the courting era. But as you were going out, if you were out and you've had a lovely meal with your girlfriend or boyfriend, if it's the other way around, and you're going out for a lovely stroll and you see your friends coming and you think, oh my goodness, I can't see them. They can't see her. You push her in a bush. And they say, how are you? Yeah, I'm all good. had a good evening? Yeah, lovely evening. Thanks very much. And then they go off, and then you pull her out of the bushes. And, well, the first time that she might possibly, if you are a very good wordsmith, be able to get out of that situation. But if that keeps happening, and he pushes them in the bushes every time to see someone, that's not going to go down very well. The reason I use that analogy is sometimes we're like that. We can go to church on a Sunday. We can have that relationship with Jesus. And instantly we walk out of the doors and we see some friends. And it's like, where have you been? Oh, yeah, we've just gone for a walk. We've just been out and about. And Jesus is not mentioned. How many of us here have got sort of loved ones where they're the first thing that we speak on in conversations? It's very difficult to not include them in our conversations because of the relationship that we have with them. And this is the type of relationship Jesus wants with each one of us. Such a relationship that it just flows out of our mouths, that we're talking about Jesus constantly because we love him, because we're in relationship with him, because we walk with him daily. And this is where we want to be. Church, I can only give you my own testimony, but because that's what I have walked. And I know that Jesus has walked with me. I have seen too many miracles. I have had too many events in life where that had to be Jesus. I've had conversations and God has given me that answer sort of straight away. I've had times where I'm on my knees praying and God said, just open your Bible. And I've opened my Bible and the words in the book, in his words, have been so precise for the situation that I'm going in that it is not a coincidence. It happens so many times that is not a coincidence. It can only be a living God. And because of these testimonies, because of that journey of life, I have that reassurance that we have a living God. And I know I echo a lot of different stories here. I know for certain there are people who have got tremendous stories of how God has impacted their lives. And because of that, we can say, you are real, and you are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I just want to pick up on that bit. We are ambassadors for Christ. And again, another analogy. Do we know of any ambassadors who would not speak? They would make a pretty poor ambassador, to be honest. If we had ambassadors which didn't carry a message, which didn't speak to anyone else, they would be a poor ambassador. And I don't think they'd be in job very long. We are ambassadors of Christ. And God is saying, come, be my ambassador. Carry the legacy, carry the message on. And we can experience and live in that relationship with God and share that that good news with others. It says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but to come to repentance. And this is the reason why we carry that message. We carry that message because there are people who don't have that relationship with Jesus who will go to hell. And we don't want that. And our first response to all of this is, do we care about that? Do we really have a heart for those people going to a lost eternity? Do we really care? Because if you don't, it's very difficult to walk that out. And if you don't, the first thing I would say is you need to pray for God's heart. Because the second you pray for God's heart and you feel God's heart in you, you will certainly be caring about where people are going. It's one of those funny things. People sort of say, oh, if only you could show them sort of 5 minutes in heaven, and then they'll be fully on for you. Well, how about 1 minute of showing them hell, and they definitely will not want to be going there. They'll want to be going to heaven. So I've got a little bit of a demonstration. I'm going to use you two boys. Sorry, I have to pick you out. Could you just pick the wire up, and could one of you just, if you pass me the tape and scissors. Thank you. And if you could give one of you the end. And it's going to sound really nasty, but I need you to then reel it out all the way to the end, and I need you to reel it out to the door. You can come back in after that. So if you just reel it out, keep going. Keep going, just reel it and place it out the back door. Oh, I didn't plan that too well, did I? No, that's okay, that's fine, just underneath. Okay, that's fine. Okay, I'm calling this demonstration just up to the wire. Just place it out there and then come back in. I like this demonstration because I'm a very visual person. So hopefully, if you're a visual person too, this is going to make sense. Okay, this is our timeline. And part of this timeline is that at the very beginning, who was at the beginning, at the very beginning? God, yep, I'll take that, okay. In terms of... can you just rip pieces off for me? Okay, so in the beginning was God. That'll do. And we're just going to place that at the start. Okay, and who was first person? Adam, okay. Okay, what I want you to do is just give it a finger's gap and then put Adam down. Okay, and then we've got all of the biblical timeline. So everything in the Bible. Let's just do this. Oh yeah, we'll just go for one. Can you just a tiny bit more? You'll understand. Yeah, that'll do. Yep, perfect. Okay. And this is our lives just here. Let's just put that up there and then you can go sit down. Thank you for that, Sam. So this wire is the timeline. So that feels a bit like life as well. This is the timeline, okay? And this is something that we've also got to remember, and this will help us when we're speaking to others. If you take this, the thousands of years that we've been around, that humanity has been around, we're here. And this represents eternity. Our decisions here change our eternity. And if what we've read is God saying that he doesn't want anyone to perish, if we perish, we fall into an eternity without him. But if we are for him, if we have a relationship with him, we have an eternity with him in paradise. Who wants their friends, their family, anyone they meet to also experience that eternity of paradise. And when you look at that, when you think back, I know I'm speaking for so many people, but life is so short. It goes past so quick. Don't have sympathy on me. But our decisions now have an impact for things that we can't even see what an eternity is. And part of the legacy is that we want to make a difference here, and we want to make a difference for someone else's life, which goes on a bit further and goes on a bit further, goes on a bit further, because we want to leave a good legacy. And then we want that eternity in paradise. So how do we do that? No idea what the time is. Okay. Thank you. So Colossians 3:2, it says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. That's one of the main things to do. It's seek first the kingdom and everything else falls into place. So set your mind on things above. John 14:26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring your remembrance of all things that I have said to you. So we don't do this alone. We do this with the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here because he's helping us with this mission. And how do we do that? Okay, so Galatians 6:8. I told you we're going to be all over the Bible today. I'm glad that people are flicking through to different places. It says, Galatians 6:8, it says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And then just in Matthew 6:19-21, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and dust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So church, God wants to help us. And we can make those little steps to stay on the same track as where God wants us to be. We should be thinking about what is God's plan for us. As we leave here today on a Sunday, we go into our Monday with God with us. We go into our Tuesday with God with us. We go into the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all with God with us. And we seek him, Lord, this is a new day. What do you want me to do for this day? Lord, let my ears be listening out for you so I can walk in your will for my life today. How beautiful are the feet that brings good news. Just as I wrap up, I just want you to just, in your heart, go, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Your word says for me to go, and wherever I go, bring that good news. But today I want to walk in that. Today, just show me. Open my ears, let me hear you. Guide me. The beautiful thing in scripture, it says, God will open doors and close doors. Whatever door God opens, no man can shut. Whatever door is closed, no man can open. Isn't that beautiful that we've got a God who is just with us in that way? So are we ready? Are you ready to be part of the legacy which has been handed down to you? You've been introduced to Christ. Are you ready to then pass that on to the next person? Let's just pray.